type of praise like we really mean.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I grew up in the Baptist church where they made a lot of noise. And so I feel out of place if I'm in church and nobody claps their hands and nobody says amen. And so they always say that saying amen to a preacher is like saying sick'em to a dog, amen? If you have a dog that's well-trained and protects his master, if you say sick'em, he's going to get somebody. It don't even have to be anybody in the house. I remember we used to have a little small Cocker Spaniel, and the dog's name was Mark. And every so often we would say to him, we would say, get him, Mark. And Mark would he would brace himself and he'd start barking and he'd bark. And there was nobody knocking on the door, nobody coming in the house. But just because we said, sick him, Mark, Mark was just ready to get him, amen? And so, you know, when we say amen to the truth, you know, it's like we're ready to get that devil, amen? Hallelujah. Let's practice it one time. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're getting there. Amen. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. As Brother Kevin said, I do have several baptisms that need to be done today, about eight of them. So we thank God for that. And so we do want to get started with the message so we can serve communion, and then I'll have to run out. But I can assure you, Brother Kevin, that this will not happen again. Amen. I give you my solemn word. Let's turn to a passage of scripture where God can bless us real good. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And when you get there, we're going to begin reading at verse 48. Matthew chapter 26. We begin reading at verse 48. Amen. I still see some pages turning. Okay. Are we there?
Amen.
Okay. Begin in verse 48 of Matthew chapter 26. And the word of God reads as thus. It says, now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? And then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword unto his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? I want to talk on this subject for a little while, staying in God's will. Staying in God's will.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bow my head and I humble my heart to you, Father, asking God that you would equip me in such a way right now, Lord God, with your word, your wisdom, with your will, with your power, with your strength, to be able to deliver this message in such a way that you will receive all the glory and that your people will be encouraged as we continue to face these difficult times here on earth each and every day of our lives. Give us open mind and fertile hearts, Father. And again, Father, forgive us for our sins that we may be holy in thy sight. Help us, O God, to stay in your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My brothers and my sisters, the Lord not only placed in my spirit to deliver this message today about staying in God's will, but he prompted me to deliver it expediently because when we look at the news, as I'm sure most of us have been over the last couple of weeks, and we've seen the shootings that have been taking place in different places pertaining to people losing their lives, as we might feel that they lost their lives unjustly. Rather, it was an African-American man, or rather it was a Caucasian police officer. The color is not what matters, but what matters is that lives are being lost unjustly. And it's due to the fact that people are not feeling towards others the way that they should. It's due to the fact that people are not operating out of the will of God. Most people may look at it as being a situation where race is the issue. But one of the things we must always be mindful of is whether we have a race issue or whether we have a gender issue. It all boils down to the fact that it all boils down to the point that it's ultimately a heart issue. And so it's because people are not operating in the will of God. If people would spend time in God's word and in God's house and understanding what God's will is, then no matter how we feel, we will still do what it is that God wants us to do. But of course, in order for that to take place, people need to get saved. And so salvation has no color. And I'm convinced that we are where we are today due to the fact that people don't have a relationship with God. And when we track the difficulties of getting along with one another, it all goes back to not having a relationship with the Lord. For even when we look at Cain and Abel were biological brothers. The context of the color of their skin was the exact same. Their blood was the exact same, but yet Cain killed his brother unjustly. And we're still dealing with the same issues in the world today. Can I get an amen from somebody?
Amen.
And so I want us to look at this passage of scripture today, and I'm hoping that it will encourage us to leave here today understanding that it's okay to stay in God's will in spite of what folks do to you. Can I get a witness? Because when your loved ones have been mistreated, you have a tendency to feel like you want to do something about it. As a matter of fact, I can understand because I've been going through some things, and sometimes people can treat you in such a way that it just makes you angry. It makes you angry, and then when you try to put your trust into those whom God has placed over us as far as patrol over the land and security, and then when you don't get that trust from them, if you don't get that protection from them, then you have a tendency to feel like you need to take matters in your own hand. But I stop by to tell you today that God has given us an example through Jesus Christ that in spite of how he was treated, in spite of what he went through, he never took matters into his own hands. And so the Bible says here, if you look with me very carefully, the Bible says in verse 48, it says, he that betrayed him gave them a sign saying, whomsoever shall I kill, the same as he, hold him fast. And the Bible says that Judas here comes to the garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus and his other 11 disciples are, and he has brought a whole crowd of men, armed men, to come and to take Jesus into custody. And the Bible says that he walks up to Jesus and he gives him a kiss. And when you look at the word kissed here, he didn't just kiss him once, but he held Jesus and he kept on kissing him repeatedly, because he did not want them to miss the fact that this is the man that you all need to take into custody. And so that's very, very important, because Judas had been walking with Jesus both day and night. He had just finished eating with Jesus earlier that evening as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and which demonstrated his love, his suffering, and his death that was going to take place for everybody in the world. And in spite of Jesus' love for him, in spite of how he treats Jesus with betrayal, the Lord does not attack him. And so we must realize today that in spite of how Jesus was treated, he did not attack anybody. You ought to jot that down. In spite of how he was treated, he never attacked anybody. And so we must realize today that no matter how we feel, we ought not attack anybody. And so the Bible says also, another thing that will really help us to stay in God's will is to understand when you look back at verse 24 of this very same chapter 26. Jesus basically says, he says that the person who dips his hand in the dish is the person that's going to betray me. But he doesn't just say that. He says that the Son of Man, as it is written of him, he said, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man shall be betrayed. And Jesus said it had been good for that man if he had not been born. Now, I want you to write this down. I want you to write down, secondly, that when a person deliberately mistreats another person, if they don't get it right with the Lord, it is better that they not have even been born. Now, that ought to encourage us, because the thing that it does is it tells us is that I don't have to do anything to anybody. I don't have to take anybody's life. I don't have to curse out anybody, because when someone mistreats you or a loved one, you need to know that God deals with them right where they are. And that ought to help us. It ought to help us. It ought to help us. It is better for a person not to be born when a person deliberately attacks and takes another person's life and mistreats people in this world. And so the Bible says here in verse 50, and it says, and Jesus said unto him, friend, he says, wherefore art thou come? And then came they laid hands on Jesus and they took him. And now with the fact that they laid hands on him, they didn't just gently grab him and take him to prison. But what they did was they roughhoused Jesus, they seized him, they arrested him. And the Bible says, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and he struck off the servant of the high priest's ear, and he smote off his ear. Now we know that this person was Peter. Peter loved the Lord. And because the Lord is being mistreated, Peter says, I will die for the Lord. I'm going to fight. They only had two swords. When you read the context of the whole scripture, they only had two swords. They had two swords, but yet here's a whole army of men who have come to attack them. There's no way that Peter and the disciples could have defeated these trained armed men. But Peter had made a vow to the Lord. He had made a vow, which was a vow he did not need to make. He said to the Lord, he said, even if I die, he said, I will never betray you. I'll fight for you. And Peter is ready to do that. But what Peter failed to realize is that this is not God's will for him to take out his sword and to want to fight and to try to take another man's life. Now, it seems fair to the conscience and to the mind of us and our human infirmities that's the natural thing to do, is to want to get a weapon and to go and do something. And that's what's happening in the world today. What's happening in the world today is people are getting to the point to where they're tired of seeing things happen over and over and over again. And it seems like, I wish I had a witness here, it seems like nobody's doing anything about it. Amen. But what they fail to realize is that God knew exactly what was going to happen before it took place, and he's still in control. Many people ask the question, well, where was God when my loved one lost their life? Where was God then? Let me tell you where he was. Does anybody know where he was? Where was he? That's what we always tell people. God is still in heaven, and he is. But you know where he is when it happens? He's in control. That's where he is. So the next time somebody asks you, where was God? You tell them, he's in control. He was in control when it happened. He's in control after it happens. And he's always going to be in control. People need to know today that God is in control, because it breaks my heart. And I know it saddens God's heart and it saddens you all's heart when we turn on the news and we see that innocent people are losing their lives because somebody can't get it right. It's a sad day that we live in, my brothers and sisters. And things are not going to get better. I heard our president say on TV, he said, I believe we're going to do better. I was sitting on the sofa and I shook my head. They're not going to do better. The only way people can do better is to get saved. We can't do better until people get saved and operate in God's will. And when we look at the text here, we see that Peter is saved, but he's not operating in God's will. Peter's thought is to fight violently. But look at what the Lord says. Look at what the Lord says. The Lord says here, Jesus said unto him, put again thy sword into its place. He says, Peter, take your weapon and put it in its place where it belongs. For all they that take the sword shall perish by the sword. Now what that says is this. When we look at what happened on television, that individual who took the lives of those innocent police officers, what happened to him? He perished. Scripture is still fulfilling itself. It is better that he were not born than to do what he did. Now let's talk about the officers. I wasn't there. I don't know the whole story. But if they took those lives wrongly, if they took those lives wrongly, then they've got a price to pay. And the price that they will pay, the judicial system can't touch the price that they'll have to pay. And you know what, my brothers and sisters? That's what's going to keep us in these last days. What's going to keep us is us staying in the will of God in spite of what we see on television. And we need to be able to have answers for people that are going through the things they're going through. We need to still be able to tell them that God is in control and that he never loses it. We need to be able to tell them that God is going to fix it because he's already got the plan ready to carry out. Look with me, look with me, look with me here. I want you to see thirdly that when Jesus says, put away your sword into his place, the third thing I want you to see is that there's a time to use weapons and there's a time not to. There's a time to use weapons and there's a time not to. And this was not a time to use weapons. Why isn't it time? They're attacking his Lord. He needed to defend him. He needed to protect him. Jesus has a purpose. Watch this. Watch this. In verse 53, he said, think thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. What Jesus says here is, write it down, in spite of how it looks, my Father is still in control. That's what he says. He says, I can pray to the Father, and he says, my Father will send 12 legions of angels. That's 36 to 72,000 angels. And do you know that one angel can kill hundreds of thousands of people by himself? And Jesus said, all I got to do is pray the prayer right now, and my Father will send them to wipe them out. But he says, that's not God's will. Amen. And then, watch this. He says, he'll give me more than 12 legions of angels. Then in verse 54, he says, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In other words, he says, not only is my Father still in control, but he says he's going to fix it all. That's what he says in verse 54. He says, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? The word fulfilled here means that what the Bible says, the things that God has promised, the things that God has warned about, it's going to come to pass. And one of the things that we can ill afford to do is to make things about race. It's not about race. I don't care what a person says. Just because a person doesn't like us, or when I say us, I'm talking about human beings. Just because a person does not like another human being because of the color of their skin, they think it's just because of the color of their skin. It's because of a heart condition. And that's what America needs to see. America needs to see that what we have is heart conditions. Ain't race condition. It's a heart condition. Because there's no difference in hating someone because of their color, or hating someone because of their sex, or hating someone because of their racial, their social, economical status. There's no difference. Hatred is hatred, and it all stems from a bad heart. So let me ask you, what's the first thing we need to know about staying in God's will? What's the first thing that will help us? What's the first point I gave you? In spite of our Lord being mistreated, he did not retaliate. He didn't bring, he did not seek revenge. What's the second thing? Love. Okay? And what else did we say? Secondly, about love. What else did we say?
God knows what's going to happen before it takes place because he's in control.
He knows what's going to happen before it takes place because he's in control. Nothing can happen to us that the Lord doesn't know about. What's the third thing? There's a time to use weapons and a time not to. When you're in your home and someone tries to invade and to harm you, there's a time to use a weapon. But to sit down and plot to find someone and to take their life is not a time, never, to use a weapon. What else did we say?
You also said, in spite of everything, God is still in control.
In spite of it all, he's still in control. The last thing I said, he's going to fix it all. When you understand those things, you'll stay in God's will. You'll stay in God's will. Did you know that the chief of police in Texas, where the incident took place, did you know that his son had been killed by police officers? His son had committed some crime. He got into a shootout with the police officers in Dallas. And his son lost his life. And as a police officer, he did not say, "You all murdered my son." No. The conclusion he came to was, my son broke the law. And the fact that he broke the law, it cost him his life. He did not, as an African American, he did not become the chief of police because he retaliated against people. He did not become the chief of police because he was biased. He became the chief of police because he knew something about staying in the will of God. Staying in the will of God, saints, will keep us. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we just don't understand. But we still have to stay in his will. Because he's going to fix it all eventually. Give God a hand clap of praise. Just a quiet message to encourage even the saints of God when we don't understand. when we have a tendency to feel that we understand why somebody did something. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to prepare our hearts and our minds to serve Holy Communion. Before we do that, is there anyone in the building who has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Has everyone received Jesus in their hearts? Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23-30, the Apostle Paul said, as the Lord Jesus had given unto me, so give I unto him, to thee. On the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord took bread, break it, blessed it, and then break it and gave to each one. He said, take, eat, this is my body that was bruised for your sins and in your place. In the same manner, he took the cup and said, drink ye all of it. This is a new test of my blood. You do show the Lord's death till he comes. But he said, let a man examine himself before eat of this bread and drink of this cup. Said, for he who eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself. Not discern the Lord's body, and for this cause many are weakly and sickly among you, and many do sleep. And so we're going to examine ourselves and we're going to pray. Let us pray. Gracious Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, first of all, that you would forgive us for our sins and cause us to be in a spiritual condition. And we ask, Father, that you would. We ask that you would bless the bread and the juice as they are symbolic to your body that was battered and bruised and your blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. So we thank you now. And we honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.